and self-confidence. So yeah, I can definitely agree with what was said.
Yeah, Farouk.
Yeah, exactly. I'll not go a lot into detail because you would have these points as we move further on. But yeah, just to say something at the start, I feel like it has to do with the brain so used to focusing on what's not going well that it starts to overlook what's going well. And sometimes just when we have people look back and see how far they have come, that gives them a lot of confidence and them realizing that we are actually starting to change and there is a change that we have already experienced instead of them, I'm doing good, but this is not happening. I'm doing good, but that is not happening. So I think that focus of the brain, always looking for what you don't have so far, I think this can be a dig hole in towards having self-doubt because you always feel like you're not there. On the other hand, not realizing that you are, even if you're not where you want to be, you're still better than where you were. So I think just realizing how far you have come is a great point to the confidence thing that then projects into your speech as you move forward. I have many other things to say, but we'll talk about them as we move further with the session.
So one of the first things that I want to do is just briefly kind of define confidence. And if you look back at the Latin roots of the word, and there's a couple of different words, but it has to do with there's the word con, C-O-N, and fidere. Fidere, confidere, and you break these two
Sorry.
words up, and one has to do with, and if you look at Spanish, when you say con, that means with, so con or together, and fidere, you probably heard that word before, like fidelis, mute, yeah, so. That word, if you look that word up, you'll hear different variations of it, and it means trust, right? It means trust. So when you put those two together, it means with trust, or some version of that, kind of with trust or to have trust. And when you say self-confidence, then obviously that means that you are doing what? You're trusting yourself. You have trust in yourself. Now, this word is also closely related to belief. If you go and you look belief up, the etymology of belief, you're going to find some intersections, some ways that they relate. So if you believe something, you trust that it's true, or you trust it, right? So if I believe you, it means that I trust you. If I believe in myself, I trust myself. Now, here's the question. How do we build trust? In fact, I'm just going to ask you guys this and just give me your thoughts. How do you build trust in someone else? What are some things that have to happen for you to trust someone else? So that's a question for you guys that I'd like for you to answer for me. So first we'll open it up to anyone. And then if you guys want to just hop on here in video or audio, it's fine. What has to happen before you trust someone else? So maybe we can start with Cassandra, since you're here with us.
I think Vesta unmuted as well. I'm not sure if he wanted to answer.
Vesta, did you want to say something?
Yes. Hello.
Yes, yeah, we can hear you.
Yes. First of all, I just want to greet all of you there. I hope that all of you are having a good day so far. To me, when I trust someone, I always I based on previous experience from that person, you know. So let's say if it's a presentation or just even a communication or anything like that, if I trust with somebody, I actually like base it on what I mean the on what has been performed by that person before. So let's say if the presentation went on well the first time, so the second time now, if I see the person, I will trust them that I mean they are able to do it well based on my previous experience, you know, from that person. So
Okay.
yeah.
Great, 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 great. Very good, very good. Okay. Who else?
Yeah, I'll continue on with what Buster was stating. It's based on what has occurred in the past and if that experience was a positive one or something that I was expecting or something that they state that they were going to do, say, or what have you. I would build the trust based on them adhering to, okay, I'm going to do this, and they actually do it. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, previous experiences, what were your previous experiences with that person? And then, as a part of that, if they said they were going to do something or deliver something, did they do it? Right. So, that's a previous experience and a current experience. So, did they do what they said they were going to do? Okay, good. And Farouk?
I would also lean towards previous experiences. Like if you're talking about someone else, so probably their experience with myself so far in the past, or even if not with myself, their experience with someone else. And I would realize how they are as a person, getting to know them from someone else, and then deciding whether I need to trust them or not. Plus my own personal experiences with them, of course. Yeah.
Okay, good, good. So this is important. It's very important because if we build trust in large part, if not completely, I'm not going to use the word completely because I'm sure that there's some other aspects to this, but in large part on our previous experiences with that person or with that thing. It could be a thing like, do you trust your car? Have you had experiences where your car keeps breaking down? Then you might be like, I don't trust this car on the highway, or I don't trust this car in certain places or certain times because it's probably not going to start or it's going to cut off or something like that, right? So it's not just in people, but it's based on your experiences with that. And it's also based on the promises made by that person or by that car. The dealer says, this car is going to do this. This car can do that. And you believe it, and you get in there and it doesn't do that, then you've lost trust. You've lost faith, which is another closely related word, faith, belief, trust. They're all related, sometimes indirectly, but they're all related. So then that brings us to ourself. So how do we build self-confidence? You just have to go back to how do you build trust in someone else? Well, it's based on your previous experiences and based on what that person said that they were going to do. Now, it doesn't always mean that they fulfilled their promises perfectly every time because we're all human. So sometimes we can't for one reason or another, or we don't. Or we fall short. So we have to understand that, and we have to give that person and ourselves some grace. So therefore, when we're talking about ourself and building self-confidence, sometimes it comes down to, did we try to fulfill? Did we try to do what we said we were going to do? Let's break this down even further. I can build confidence not by necessarily being an amazing speaker or an excellent speaker all the time. I can build confidence because I tried. I tried to. I can build confidence because I'm practicing and I'm becoming and I'm improving. So it's not just based on my performance, on my perfect performance. It's based on, did I try? Am I doing anything to improve my performance? And this goes back to what Farouk said. It's learning not to filter out all the positive stuff and just filter in all the negative and the mistakes or where I currently am. I'm not where I want to be, but it's learning to filter in, hey, I've made a little progress. I'm doing a little better. I'm doing my practices. I'm analyzing to see how I need to change my practices or change my attitude or change some, but I'm doing something. And so because I'm doing something, I can build confidence in myself. So that's a distinction that I want you guys to remember, that self-confidence doesn't just come from great performance. It also comes from your effort and your intentions, right? And your actions. Now, that being said, you can build self-confidence by looking back at your previous performances. And did you try or did you do what you said that you were going to do? Right? Did you try to do it? And in some cases, did you do it? So when you look at your performances, you can say, hey, I actually did do pretty well back then, right? I did a little better than what I usually do. And if you focus on that, that can help you build momentum and build confidence. If you focus on, and this is the way that I usually describe it, say you have a 5-minute conversation, and previously the whole 5 minutes used to be bad. Now, just 4 minutes is bad, but 1 minute is good. 1 minute is better, right? So, based on your performance, based on your activities, your practices, you were able to improve for 1 minute. So you focus on the 1 minute, not on the 4 minutes. Because a lot of people say, oh, well, I'm still doing this. I'm not able to do that. As opposed to, oh, I actually did a little better this time. That builds momentum. If you focus on the 4 minutes that didn't go well, then you're going to lose motivation, right? You're going to not build self-confidence. You're going to build self-doubt and unbelief and disbelief. So you focus on the 1 minute. Builds motivation, builds a little bit of confidence. Now you're more willing, you're more excited to go out and try to push that 1 minute up to a minute and a half or 2 minutes or 3 minutes, right? And you keep doing that and you keep doing that and you keep reflecting on your previous performance and on all your efforts and you'll start building confidence. When you feel your confidence dipping, what can you do? Well, we talked about some of those things. One is self-talk, right? You can tell yourself, I can do this. Look at what I did before. I'm improving. So now let me throw this out. Let me throw this question out. What are some other things that we can do to build our self-confidence? So one thing we know is self-talk and affirmations. But there's other stuff that we can do to build our self-confidence. What are some of those things that either you've done or that you've learned or that you know that we can do to build our self-confidence? And
Can I just add something, Michael, right here, really quick?
absolutely, yeah.
So one thing that I mentioned about, like, when you're having to trust someone, so probably you'll look at your own experiences with them and probably the experiences of other people with them in order to see whether you can trust them or not. So I think
Good point.
this plays a huge role in watching the success stories of people who have already been following the system, who have already been working on their speech, because this gives people a huge boost, a huge confidence, knowing that if something can work for them, and not just for one person, two people, but for various people, it will work for you as well. So for me, a big part when I joined the system, a big part of the confidence was seeing so many success stories out there. So seeing other people, seeing how they have improved. And like you people know, I myself joined as a client, right? So I used to struggle severely with my speech and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds reviews out there. So that's very important as well. And then the next point that I just wanted to add, and then we can move on to that question about making promises that we were talking about. It's likely frame it as realistic expectations. So the promises that you make to yourself should also be realistic, because if you make promises like I'll go to the next level within the next 2, 3 days, that's the time where people start to disappoint themselves and they feel like this is what I said to myself, or this is where I wanted to be, but see, I'm still not there. So, like Michael often talks about those realistic expectations. So, even before you start trying this program, before you start doing something, having realistic expectations, even let's just take the example of that 5-minute conversation again, that you set your expectation that I just want to improve a little than I did the last time. So, the promise that you're making to yourself is not that of course, you want to be fluent the whole time, but I just want to at least improve a little than I did the last time. So, when you keep doing this and then you keep looking back, you see that you're fulfilling your promises, just like we talked about promises with respect to another person. So, this gives you a lot of self-confidence because you know that I did what I aimed to do. I aimed to improve a little, then I did it. And then you might end up improving more. That's a bonus, but at least have one small realistic expectation out there. And then looking back, just like we talked about, and realizing that your brain is overlooking a lot of successes. And we cannot emphasize on this point more, even in the what people think were the worst of conversations or speaking situations, when they try to find a success, they almost always can. The brain overlooks a lot. So, yeah, just I wanted to add that, Michael, and before that question. Yeah.
Great. I want to add one thing that you made me think about when you said other people. There's another dimension to that. So the confidence can also come from us reflecting on what other people think about us. Yeah, sometimes I mean, this happens a lot. This has happened to me. Maybe it still does to some degree, but sometimes you're improving and you don't think you are. Or you're performing well and you don't think you did. But other people will say, no, you did a great job, or you're very good at this. And so you can build confidence, and this has absolutely happened to me. You can build self-confidence by reflecting upon what other people say about you. Now, the opposite can be true. Other people can say bad things, and that can destroy your confidence. But you filter that out. You say, is any of that true? If so, how can I fix this? How can I address this? Am I willing to address this right now? Maybe I don't want to address it. That's okay. But at least you'll say, okay, some of that's true, or that's completely true. Am I willing to fix it? Am I willing to fix it now? All right. So that's when other people give you criticism or feedback. But we're talking about when other people say, you did a great job. You're really, really good at that. And if enough people say that same thing, I'm not just talking one person or two people, but when you get a lot of people essentially saying the same thing about you, you ought to listen, right? Because it's probably true. And when you listen, it builds your self-confidence. And there are times when even you might still continuously not think, well, I don't look that great. I don't look that great on the video, or I don't sound that great. You may still feel that, but if everyone else thinks that you look great, like I don't like some of my smiles, I still don't. Some of them. Some I like, some I don't like. Other people, no, I love it when you smile. But I believe them, right? If all these people tell me, no, I love it when you have that big smile and I still don't like it, then I'll just let myself go and just do it. right? Because it must be true if all of these people say the same thing. Same thing for you. So sometimes, if not a lot of times, it's worth your listening to what multiple people say about you and your personality and your talents and your performance, because that is another input that you can use to build your self-confidence. And sometimes it can be a big one. It can be a major one. Again, when you're talking about video, some people don't like the way they look on video, the way they sound. Other people may love it. You gotta listen. You gotta start to listen to what they say. And then after a while, you'll start to believe it and you'll actually possibly start to say, wow, okay, I really do sound okay, or I do sound good, or I do look good when I do this. It's another very, very important element of self-confidence. Okay. Do we have any comments about that before we kind of shift over?
Does anybody have any comments? Mirela, Malika, Ailey, Sandra, Vesta.
Yeah. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free. Okay.
Okay, so
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. Carry on.
No.
So was that you, Haley?
It was. Hello.
Hey, Haley. Yes, go
Hello.
ahead.
I just wanted to comment on what you were saying about building up confidence and how to do it. One of the things that I found quite helpful for me, well, very helpful, was going out and doing my practice in real life speaking situations. I don't mean jumping into great big situations first, but having like a hierarchy of situations. Starting at the bottom, building up your confidence in that area, and then climbing up to the next one and building up your confidence in that area, and so on. And I really found that putting the practice in real life speaking situations allowed me to learn to trust myself, which is so important.
Very good. Excellent. Which is something that we teach, right? Experience, getting out there in our base daily routine. One of the things is experience, real life experience. If you don't do that, you don't have any way to build trust in yourself. To now, here's another word that's related to confidence. Test. You have to test, right? Because if you don't test, then how do you know that it's going to work? And when you test yourself, you figure out at what level you want to test yourself. What level of pressure do you want to test yourself? It's important to test yourself when there's no pressure at all, but that's a certain kind of test. That's a level, it's a lower level, but where you can just get comfortable with it. But then you have to test yourself under pressure. You can increase that pressure. And when you take a test, you're not always going to pass it, right? Which is completely normal. This is where the expectations that Farouk was just talking about earlier. You set realistic expectations. So sometimes you're not going to pass that test, but you're going to learn something from it. And just by you taking that test, by you testing yourself, you build confidence because you did something that you said you were going to do. And if you reflect on what you did well and what you can improve on, you can build your confidence, right? So testing is important. And this is exactly what we're talking about, getting out there in real life, testing yourself, and controlling the pressure when you can. When you can, sometimes you can't. It's just bam, you got to get out there and you got to do this for work. Okay. Very, very important. Did someone else have something else that they wanted to say about this or anything else that we're talking about here?
I did initially, but Haley kind of stated what I was going to state. So.
Okay. And what about you, Farouk?
Yes, a really important point about getting out there exposing yourself and experiencing the success. I think a huge part to defining confidence is also how you define success, because some people define success to be a really huge thing, and then they don't get it, and then they feel like they failed. So, like we've stated in multiple webinars and conversations and videos, even you have to start defining success in the right way. We talked about realistic expectations, and sometimes we overlook the small successes, but like we always say, a success is a success. Even if you went into a conversation and felt a little more relaxed, even if you did not speak that well, but you felt a little more relaxed than before, you define it as a success. Even if you felt a little more confident, that you define as a success. Even if you say a little part of the conversation well that you did not used to do before, that is a success. So I think when you define success in the right way, and then your brain starts to see, I'm getting more successful, for example, by exposing myself into real life speaking situations, and you define success. Okay, this is what success looks like, no matter how small. Then you start to really see that. Then you start to really see the successes and believe more in yourself, and then go out there even more, experience even more successes, then go out there even more. So it becomes a loop that takes you in the right direction. It's really important to define success, and it's really important to, like Haley said, to constantly go out there, experience the success, no matter how small. Then that success gives you confidence, then you try even more. Then you experience more successes, you feel even more confident, and it just becomes a really, really good loop. Malika, did you unmute yourself? You wanted to say something?
Yes, I wanted to add something little. I think what I have also learned in the process when I do the coaching with Farouk, you have to act even if you feel unsure. I think the confidence often comes after you try and not before. And I have learned that because before, when I had meetings and I wanted to say something, I was thinking and pondering if I'm going to say it. And then the moment is gone, and at the end, you have said nothing. So I think it is important to act.
It's a great
That's
point. Yeah. Thank you very much, Malika. Nice to see you again. We have a kind of a question from Mirella. So what do you do after a while when you if you lose your confidence? Great question. Because your confidence level can go up and down. It can depend on the situation. And I think this is very much related to Malika's point. When you get yourself into the habit of acting, I'm going to give you an example. When I was in school, probably more so my master's degree, more than anything else, because that's when I had made the biggest transformation when I was going through my master's program, master's in divinity and Christian education. I would challenge myself, as well as when I left there and I started work in a professional environment. So then, and even, yeah, even before that, before I went to my master's, when I started professionally working, I would challenge myself to speak up in meetings. Just do it. And of course, I'm afraid, my heart is pumping, but I would challenge myself to ask a question or make a comment. So just by acting, I built confidence. It doesn't matter if it came out as smooth as I would like, but I did it. And because I kept doing it, I built confidence and then it became easier, right? So the action builds the confidence despite the performance. Now, there is a degree to where if you keep failing every time, but then you have to go back and say, what do I need to change? What can I improve so that my performance increases when I do act? But to Mirella's question, what do you do after a while when you lose your confidence? You do want to go back and say, all right, why did I lose my confidence? Was it because I had a bad performance, like I didn't speak well? Or is my confidence down because of my mood? We all have moods and our moods shift. Sometimes we just don't feel confidence. One of the things that we're going to talk about is the difference between feeling confident and being confident, because they're not necessarily the same. So sometimes your moods can change, your feelings, your emotions, the situation. And so you might not feel as confident as you did before. So it could be you might lose your confidence, if we want to call it that, because of you're reflecting on a negative experience, a past negative experience. Call that rumination. If you keep going back thinking about a negative experience, that will, can, and usually does, pull your confidence down. So one thing you don't want to do is ruminate. You don't want to go back and continuously reflect on negative experiences. If you go back and you look at a negative experience, you want to ask yourself two questions. What did I do well and what can I do better? Right? And that's very different than looking at, oh, this is what happened. I didn't do this. I've been practicing and it didn't go well and I should have done that. And so you feel ashamed. You feel like you failed. Well, you want to go back and say, I probably did something right, even if it was one thing. I probably did something right. What was that? And then you start looking at the future in a constructive manner. You say, what can I improve the next time? What can I do better the next time? That's very different than criticism. So when people say constructive criticism, I actually would rather use the word constructive feedback. The word to critique means to cut. So it's not a very nice word. We know what people mean, but if you say constructive feedback, same thing, just sounds better, and it is better because now you're looking at, well, here's what didn't go well, right? Because you have to look at that, what didn't go well, but then immediately you say, what can I do better? So while you're looking at what didn't go well, at the same moment, you're trying to say, I didn't do this, I didn't slow down, but here's what I can do the next time. I can remind myself, or I can practice this, I can do that. It's very, very important. When you look back, you don't ruminate on negative things because that can pull your confidence down. Now, if it's mood-based or emotion-based, then we need to do things to change if you can, because sometimes a mood is there and you just have to wait and let it pass. But there are some other things that you can do, like listening to audio or watching a video or meditating or exercising or getting rest or having a fun conversation or doing something fun. So there are things that you and I can do that can get us out of those moods or can change our emotions and the way that we think. You have to find those activities for yourself or those mix of activities. The thing that I would do a lot of is listening to audio. So rather than just allowing myself to stay with my own negative thoughts, I would feed myself with something else that's constructive. And that would bring me out of those moods and fill my mind with constructive information that would eventually help to build my confidence. Okay. What else can you do when you start to lose your confidence? Well, Haley, and I think a few of you said this. Well, Haley, Malika, is to get out there and act, to do something. So you will feel more confident when you're working towards a goal, when you're working on something. Here's what thousands of people have told me. When they are not doing their practices, they don't feel as confident in their speech. They don't feel confident in their tools, right? Because their brain knows you're not doing anything, right? Even though they probably have the potential to speak well, but their brain thinks, well, because you're not doing anything, you're not going to speak well. So just that, the thought of I'm doing something to work towards my speech or I'm not doing anything. This doesn't mean you have to practice the rest of your life, because this is where the real life experience comes in. You got to get out there and make sure that you're out there speaking to people and improving. So I'm going to just pause there. Those are some things that can help when your confidence dips. It's positively looking back or constructively looking back at what happened, and then taking action to improve that either through practice or real life experiences. And when you take those experiences, making sure that you've set it up realistic expectation, and you just keep moving forward like that, and filling your mind with more positive, constructive content, so you're not just there spinning around with just negative information. So who has some comments or thoughts about that or anything else that we're talking about?
Yeah, I'll just add something really quick to it. And it's really good that you mentioned about the audio listening. Sometimes when a day is not going well, whatever people say to themselves, it does not work out. But when they hear an audio, when they hear someone else letting them know about stuff, things can start to change a lot. So listening to audios, especially on bad speaking days or on days where you feel like things are not going well, is something that incredibly, incredibly helps. Also, what helps is on a bad speaking day, if you feel like nothing is going your way, try to visualize some of the good speaking days that you experienced in the past. Try to visualize them. Try to visualize or feel what you were feeling at that time, what you were doing at that time, right? When you start to visualize them, your brain starts to see that, all right, I'm not speaking so well right now, but look at these positive speaking experiences that I have had in the past. And then sometimes you can extract out something meaningful. You can extract out, I think I was slowing down a lot more during that day because of which this was happening, which I'm not doing right now. Probably I was breathing more. Probably I was doing this more. Or so when you start to visualize some of the days where you did speak well, or some of the conversations or situations where you did well, or when you're like Marilla asked, when your confidence was high, you start to pick up some things, and then when you start to implement them in the moment, it starts to change. This is something which we have experienced with many, many people. And so on, like first, and then visualize your good speaking conversations or presentations or whatever, feel that, right? And then try to extract out things from there. And to point that Malika mentioned, that Michael has mentioned a lot of the times before, sometimes you're going into speaking situations, or most of the times, let's say, your brain would say that you will have a hard time. You will get stuck, right? You won't be able to say what you want to say. But often people just surprise themselves, like Malika said, when they act and realize how well they speak. So it's important to realize that your mind saying that you will have a hard time, that you will get stuck, does not mean that it will happen. Sometimes we believe whatever our mind says and we don't act. Feel like we are going to have a hard time if we start speaking and we stay quiet in a meeting, in a presentation or whatever. But when you act and you realize that even when your mind said that you're not going to do well, but you still did well, then you start trusting your mind less. We talked a lot about trust. So you start trusting your mind less when it says bad things about you, or when it negatively anticipates, because you know your mind doing that, even if it does that, you can still speak well, right? So you start to weaken the association between mind negatively anticipating and you actually having to not perform well. So even if your mind says that, still go act, obviously using your new speaking style. And oftentimes you will surprise yourself and you will surprise your mind and show it that you did not think that it's going to happen right here, but it did. So, and obviously that gives a huge amount of confidence. Yeah.
Thank you for a few things you said that I want to touch upon that are very important. Let me just share what they are and then I'll try to be as brief as I can here. Feeling versus being. So we want to talk about that. The words that we use, we'll talk about that, and then beliefs. So I'm just going to jump in, share a few things about that. I'm going to start with the words. The words that we use, if you say, I can't do this, then what you're saying is that it's impossible. Right? I can't do this, or I always get stuck. Some of you might say block or have trouble with, whatever the word is, But I always have trouble with these words, or I always have trouble in this situation, or when I'm talking to this people, I can't get this out. I can't say that. Then what you're doing is you're eroding your self-confidence. You're absolutely affecting your performance, right? Because it's going to change your emotions. It's going to change your performance. So we have to change our words, because your words come from your thoughts. And your thoughts come from your beliefs. So if you believe that you can't do something, you probably won't do it. It's still possible that you can and that you might surprise yourself, but that belief is going to always pull you back or hold you back. So you change your words. And a lot of times you have to change your words before you actually change your beliefs and your behaviors, right? So you change what you are saying to yourself, what you're thinking, and what you say to other people, because that is going to impact your beliefs and your performance and your confidence. So don't use the word can't. You can say something like, I wasn't able to at that time, or sometimes I have a hard time, or sometimes I struggle with this, right? Those are ways that if you need to say that you didn't perform as well, that you didn't say some, or that you have had trouble with certain words or letters or certain kinds of situations. It's a way for you to describe it without limiting yourself. I had a hard time. Sometimes I, right? So watch the words that you use. Don't use words that are absolute, that are universal, that are limiting, because you're limiting yourself and you're building a belief that you just can't do it. That moves us to beliefs. Whatever you believe, I hate to say it, but it kind of becomes your reality, right? Because you believe it, and so that's what you see, and that's how you behave, and you filter out anything that goes against those beliefs. So you want to make sure that you're feeding your mind and interpreting your progress in such a way that you're starting to build beliefs that you can do this, that this is possible for you, that you have the ability to do this, that you can improve in this way, right? Because when you do this, and this is one of the items in our promotion of this webinar, when you do that, you can literally open up your performance. If you believe that you can do something, you can physically and physiologically improve your actual performance. Let me give you an example. Many, many years ago, I was teaching a student success class. I was an adjunct professor, and we were working on affirmations, like I'm a genius. So I said, just try this affirmation. Tell yourself that you're a genius. I'm a genius. I'm a genius. I'm a genius. I learned this from Brian Tracy. And so one of the students, real quiet, never really said anything, he started saying these affirmations. So the end of the semester, he said, I just wanted to share something. I was like, oh, what this guy's talking. And he said, you know, when you said to do affirmations and tell yourself, I'm a genius, I was like, yeah, this stuff is probably not going to work. But I started doing it. And he said, I always had trouble with math. I would just not do well on my tests. I hated math. But he said, when I started to tell myself I'm a genius, it improved my performance and I started to perform better at math. That's what this guy said. Now, I already know that this works, but he proved that it works. And obviously, millions and millions of other people have proved the same thing. So when you tell yourself something like, I'm a genius, I'm an excellent speaker, I'm great at this, I can do this, I'm very relaxed, I can slow down, right? When you tell yourself that, you physiologically, you get your brain set to gear itself up to perform that, to implement that intention, right? There are physiological, neurological changes that start to happen that open you up to improving your actual, I'm using this word actual, right? Improving your actual performance. This is a fact. Will it happen every time? Will it? No. But it will happen enough that you will see a huge improvement and major changes in your performance and how you speak just by telling yourself, I'm an excellent speaker. I'm a genius at this. I'm great at this. It changes how you feel, it changes what you think, and it changes your beliefs, which changes your performance. Critically important, because sometimes you can be doing all the work, you can listen to audios, you can do the practice, you can take other programs, you can do hypnosis, you can do everything. But if you have these underlying, sometimes hidden beliefs, you'll see yourself take a couple steps forward and then one or two steps back or three steps back, forward and back, forward and back. Well, what's going on? Beliefs. It's those beliefs holding you back, right? So you got to get down there. And even if you can't uncover the beliefs, at least you're building new ones by doing all the things that we're talking about. But sometimes, if you just become aware when you're in a speaking situation, what am I thinking? So, what am I thinking before? What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I telling myself? What am I thinking during? Am I thinking anything, or am I just going on autopilot? Right. And then what do I think afterwards? Am I ruminating? You look at those things and you become, oh, I was speaking and I was thinking that I'm not going to be able to say that. Or I was in my own head, or I thought that I couldn't do this. Right. You look at the aha, these are beliefs. These are beliefs. So now we know what to work on. All right. So beliefs, the words that we use, and then finally, feelings, feeling confident. Self-confident versus being. Once you've had enough experiences under your belt, you just become confident. Farouk can tell you this now. So he's been out doing a lot of public speaking, and he's probably at the point where he just is confident now. He doesn't have to juice himself up and, okay, man, you can do it, right? He just probably just goes out and he focuses on Vic and Rick. And he just does it. So when I go out, I can just do stuff because I am confident. That doesn't mean I'm confident in every situation. Of course, there's some where my confidence is going to be low. Just have to keep repeating it, right? So being confident is when you don't have to try to affirm or self-talk. Why? Because you've built up that trust in yourself. Where did the trust come from? Setting realistic expectations. Taking action, which just builds confidence, reflecting appropriately upon your experiences, not just criticizing yourself, and also listening to positive stuff, all the things that we've talked about. You build trust in yourself, right? And putting yourself under pressure, testing yourself, and increasing the pressure, you build trust in yourself, and then you just become confident. It's no longer a thing that you have to try to do. So that's important. All right. Farouk, anyone else? Comments, questions?
I think, Michael, great points. You had another point in the email that you sent out, and I really liked that. I think that was a point that your client said, and that was that confidence just does not only mean that knowing that you will go out there and speak well, it also means that you have trust in yourself that even if you trip up, you'll be able to handle it. So once you start having that confidence in yourself, you stop fearing tripping up because you know that even if something like that happens, you can handle it pretty well. And once your mind, once again with experiences, sees you handling that really well, it happens again and you still handle it. It happens again and you still handle it. So then your mind starts to know that, okay, even if something goes wrong, I know how to handle it. So then it stops fearing things going wrong and then things go wrong less because you have more trust in yourself. Right? So even if I trip up, I do this. Even if this happens, I do this. If I anticipate a word, I do this. So you start to get out of that fear. And once your mind sees that, It gives you a huge amount of confidence because then, if you see, you're no longer, at least as much as you used to, worried about what if this happens, what if that happens, because now you have the trust and confidence in yourself that you can manage it. If you would like to expand on that, Michael.
No, I'm really, really glad that you brought that up because I've been telling my clients this more and more lately that it's not just about getting out there doing it and hoping that you perform perfectly. We have said that, but I've also said now that you build confidence by trusting that you can handle any situation, especially if you get stuck, or you don't speak as fluently as you would like, or whatever the situation might happen. Just a practical example, what if you're giving a presentation and you're using slides, right? And you're not, you might be used to it, you're not, but something goes wrong and they can't show your slides. Some people get frantic, their confidence goes down, they become anxious and nervous, right? And that affects their performance. But what if instead you prepared so that you say, even if I don't have these slides, I can still do this presentation, right? So you now know you're confident that you can handle any situation. What if, this has happened to me, what if I don't have as much time as I prepared for, right? So time pressure just happens all the time, especially if you're in a meeting. And they say, well, you have a certain amount of time, and there's other people in front of you, and they take more time, or somebody else important, they have to leave, and now you have less time. Now you feel pressure. Once you know what? I can handle it. I'll just be briefer. I'll cut out some of this stuff. I can do that. You have that flexible mindset. So you feel like, and you know, I can handle any situation, and I can handle any speaking situation, even if things go wrong. Things don't go the way I expected. And just like Farouk said, once you know that, then you stop fearing, you stop negatively anticipating and worrying about what if something goes wrong, or I'm not going to put myself in this situation because what if something goes wrong? You're like, no, I'll be able to handle it. I'll be able to handle it. That alone makes you feel more calm, more relaxed, and more what? Confident. You feel more confident, not because you know you're going to perform well, but because you know that even if I don't perform as well as I could, I can still handle it and it'll come out well. And often when even when things go wrong, you might perform a lot better than what you thought. Other people might say, oh, you did an amazing job. In your head, oh, I got stuck on this. I had to do that, I had to do that. But because you were confident that you could handle it, you did handle it, you didn't fall apart, and you performed well. Very, very important to keep that in mind. So thank you, Farouk, for bringing that up. That's very important. Okay. Anything else? Anything really important that we missed? I think we kind of covered most of the stuff in one way or another that was on that list. I feel like, yes.
I want to add some a little thing for me regarding the affirmation. For me, the affirmation was something I did the exercise and the practice, but I did not believe in it. But I keep doing it. But what helped me is when I link the affirmation to an action. So when I'm saying an affirmation, and I do a small action before. For example, when I said I am an excellent speaker, and afterwards I do some practice in modeling or something else, then I believe more in my affirmation. Or when I link my affirmation to a conversation or a meeting that went well, then I also believed more in my affirmation than just saying the affirmation without any action.
Wow. Extremely powerful point. In fact, that's one of the keys, right? Is taking your affirmations, and I'm going to add self-talk. I put those two things together. They're a little different, but they're very, very similar. When you link those to experience and to action. It makes it real and you start to believe it. Super important. Thank you so much for that. Farouk, anyone else? Any other comments? Anything else you feel like we need to add or highlight?
Yeah, probably just something about affirmations that Malika mentioned. And this is something that we have seen with many people, that you start to say your affirmations and your mind often does not believe it. So once you say it, your mind often says something which is completely opposite. So first of all, that is very, very normal. That is expected, right? So just expect that to happen. Don't feel like it's just happening to you. And then the next thing is that you still keep saying those affirmations to yourself. Some people just stop saying them because they say them, for example, you're an excellent speaker, you can handle whatever you can. And then their mind says, no, it's this, it's that. So they stop doing that. So you don't stop doing it. You keep doing it over and over again until your mind really starts to believe it. And just like Malika said, you're not just doing the affirmations, you're practicing side by side. And then you're not just practicing by yourself, you're practicing with people out there as well. So all of this combined, you will see after a while that your brain, your mind actually starts to believe those affirmations. And that's why we talk a lot about being proactive. A lot of your confidence will come from going out there and being a lot more proactive, just going in for the sake of practice. You will be a lot more likely to use your new speaking style when you're going for the sake of practice. So once you do that, okay, let me make a phone call to someone. Let me go and speak to my friend or whatever, just to practice breathing and extending, or just to practice blending, or this or that. Once you just go out there for the practice sake, and obviously you make something to speak about, so you gain a lot of confidence from there. And that confidence you even carry with yourself, even when you're not proactive. So the confidence that you will gain from proactive speaking situations will be a lot. And then even when you're not proactive, someone comes up to you, or there's a speaking situation where you have to be a part of, that confidence will reflect because you know that you can use your new speaking style with people. Why? Because you already proactively did that. If you keep doing these things by yourself, obviously personal practices are great, but then comes a point where proactive speaking becomes a lot more important. So there are some speaking situations that will come your way, but there are some that you need to actively get into just for the sake of practice. Start with small, then build up, and you will see you will gain a lot of confidence from there that you will carry in every speaking situation. So, yeah.
Great point. I'm just going to say one thing on that, and then we're going to move to Cassandra, and then we're going to answer a question. Proactivity, being proactive, builds confidence. I recall I would go out and create speaking situations, high pressure speaking situations, shot my confidence up. I'll go out and I'll just sit and make myself available to have conversations with different people, or proactively have conversations, raise my hand in a meeting. Volunteer to do something. Be proactive. It will build your confidence. Okay. Don't just be reactive because your confidence may build, but not to the degree as to when you're being proactive. Another very, very prominent point. So, Cassandra. Don't think, yeah.
Okay. You wanted me to speak on this about the affirmations?
Yeah, if you had
Okay.
any comments or anything as we wrap up, we have a question that we'll answer afterwards, but if you had anything that you wanted to
No,
share.
I'll go ahead and pass because I have to drop here in just a minute. But yeah, you can go on to the question. That'll be fine. But thank you for the opportunity.
Sure. So someone asked, do you have to say it aloud, the affirmations or self, or does it work even if you listen to your recording of the affirmations? So absolutely, listening is good, but when you actively participate, right, in affirming, and you develop the habit of talking to yourself, be it self-talk, which is a little more flexible than affirmations, although affirmations are flexible, But when we say affirmations, we're usually talking about saying the same thing using the same words or something very similar. Self-talk is just more flexible. You say whatever you need to say in the moment, right? It doesn't have to be the same thing, but it can have a similar idea or it can be something encouraging. So self-talk and affirmations, for sure, you can say them internally or you can just listen to them, but they're going to be more powerful if at least periodically you say them and you can say them internally for sure, right? You can just say, yeah, right. So you can think something, or when you say it aloud, you're actually using your speech muscles, you're using your body and your hearing. So you're tapping into your auditory center. So you're saying it and you're hearing it, which makes it even more powerful. So the answer is, from time to time, you probably should say some things aloud because it's more powerful. But yes, you can say them internally because you're being proactive. And you can also listen to affirmations. But I would say you don't want to just listen to affirmations. Can that help you a lot? Absolutely. But if you do the other two things, I think it can help you more and faster. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Farouk or anyone else?
Hello.
Hey there, Haley.
Hi. I just wanted to add one more thing, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
I wanted to add about the importance of being kind to yourself on this journey. Nothing saps confidence faster than you being unkind to yourself. I realize that our brains are really funny things, and I know Farouk knows all about brains far more than I do, but I like to think of it as for years I used to drive a manual car. Now, for a couple of years, I've been driving an automatic car. And yet, sometimes my brain still starts driving a wants to drive a manual car, even though I'm in my automatic car. And that's just how your brain works. Sometimes it flips back into old pathways. I don't beat myself up when I accidentally go to drive manually in my automatic car. And I realize that I can flip my brain back again to driving an automatic car. So I know that if my brain suddenly flips into my old speaking style, I don't need to beat myself up for that for hours and hours. I can be kind to myself and I can realize that's an old pathway. It's okay. That's what brains do sometimes. It can flip back. But if it can flip as quickly as that, then I can flip it back again to my new speaking style. So yeah, I just wanted to add that. That's kind of an analogy that I found really helpful, which has allowed me to be kinder to myself.
Yes, very good. Thank you, Haley. That's a very important, very, very important point. Being kind to ourselves. As I always say, and I'll explain this in another webinar, but always rig the game in your favor. That means don't erect barriers for yourself. The world already does that. We already have stuff working against us. We don't need to work against ourselves. So always make sure that you're positioning yourself so that you win, which sometimes means playing your own game, creating your own game, or being kind to yourself, or looking for ways to improve or do something differently. Don't just keep running your head into the same wall and say, oh, I can't do this. I didn't do that. Beating yourself up. That's not helpful. It's just not helpful. Be kind to yourself. Be flexible. Give yourself freedom to change up things, to play your own game, create your own game. And you'll find that you feel a lot more freer and that you win a lot more often. So I'll just say that. Okay, Farouk, we're going to wrap it up. Any words of encouragement, inspiration?
I hope the stuff that we have said so far is enough for inspiration. But like these webinars are really helpful, and it was not a webinar, obviously more of a conversation between all of us. And that's how we like to have the rest of the ones as well, because that gives you people a great chance to just come and say these points. So great point, Haley, about you mentioning about being kind to yourself. And I think I see it like that. The more realistic you are in your mind, the more kind you are to yourself, and the more unrealistic you become, especially while you're working on your speech and your speech journey, that I want to be there within 3 days, 4 days. That's when you beat yourself up, because you keep looking at where you want to go and not to where you have come from or how far you have come. Because when you see that, see how much you have improved. You see that you're doing such a great job. Probably you might want to improve even more. I want to improve a lot more than what I am right now. I'm sure Michael wants to do that. We all want to do that. But we don't keep looking at that and keep saying that, it's still not happening, or I still want to be better than this. Yes, I want to be still be better than how I am right now, but I know how much I have improved, like how much I've improved since the time I started. This gives you more confidence, and you're not only kind to yourself, then you become very, very proud of yourself, and you start to look how far you have come. And that proudness in itself brings kindness to yourself, so that you're not beating yourself up, but realizing that you have come such a far way. So yep, it's a beautiful journey. I know it sounds weird to say this for someone struggling, but it brings about something in you that would have never have come about if you did not face it, and if you did not have to struggle with your speed. So like Michael has said on multiple occasions, it's a gift. Use it, and then use this to bring out best version of yourself that wouldn't have been really possible otherwise. For me, I see it like it's the best thing that has ever happened to me, and I think I see it for all of the people right here. So, yep.
Well, thank you, Farouk. I've put a couple of things there in the chat. If you want to work with Farouk or myself, you can just visit our website, pro90d.com, and you can book an assessment with us. The fastest way for you to transform your speech and your life is to work with us privately. We don't just say that to make money. We say it because for many people, it's true. It's not for everyone. We have limited schedules because we have limited time, and we want to work with people that they feel like this is the best way for them to proceed and to progress, is to work with someone that can hold them accountable. And you have to do the work. We can't make you do the work, but we can create a space for you to be more accountable and to progress, give you feedback that you couldn't give to yourself. We also want to encourage you to join our community, Virtual Speech Masters Club. Even if you don't attend the sessions, you'll get access to our WhatsApp, to the course, but you can join our sessions and you get access to Farouk and or myself. You get to practice under pressure with us, get real-time feedback, and see real progress. So we want to encourage you guys to do that. And with that said, we will end. And thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to seeing some of you guys in our Virtual Speech Masters or in assessment sessions. Okay? Okay, we'll see you next time.
Hey, everybody. Bye.